Amen. Well done. And you didn't know that between those two ladies we had an orchestra, did you? We do. Very good. Thank you so much for a good music program. This morning, we're going to take our Bibles and we're going to look at John chapter 14 one more time. So if you'll get your Bible out or your phone out and find John 14, we're going to be reading from the scriptures in just a moment. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version today. The Lord addresses several more aspects of troubled times in the lives of His disciples in the last few verses of this text. And so I want to take the time and look at these different areas that the Lord deals with as He is comforting His disciples, His 11. And so as we look at this end of the chapter, I want you to notice something very quickly. The first few words of chapter 14 says this, and since you're there, you can read it with me. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, if you flip the page, if you have a Bible like mine, it says in verse 27, in the middle part of that verse, let not your heart be troubled. It's pretty obvious that they were having some problems and needed to be comforted. They were having some trouble and it needed to be soothed. And then he says this, right after let not your heart be troubled, he said, neither let it be afraid. We're going to talk about some of the areas where there was trouble in their life this morning. We're going to try to cover four different areas, and I'll combine the last two so we'll have 3 points, okay? So you may be inadequate, but you don't need to be afraid. There may be fear in your life, but Jesus brings peace. And then finally, circumstances may be dire and difficult, but we can have the victory and take courage if we're obedient. So those are my points. So if you're writing down, those are the things that we're going to cover this morning in the message for today. Now, I was thinking about how to try to unpack this, and I thought about what was the first time that we noticed in the scriptures that fear was a problem? So I thought about that, and I wanted to ask you all some questions. So this is the test time of the message, okay? Did you know that they have labeled the fear of testing as a phobia? Yeah, I can see how all of y'all are so scared right now. So just don't let your heart be troubled. It's called testophobia. I had it bad when I was a kid, I'm telling you. But what I'm asking you, okay, are you ready? What was the first emotion that was described in the Bible, listed in the Bible? Anybody remember? The very first emotion. Dun, 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 dun. Unashamed. This is an open book test for those of you that need it. He had hid because he'd sinned against God. But the very first emotion was even before that. They were in the garden and they were unashamed. They were naked and unashamed. That means they they looked at each other and there was no shame whatsoever. There was no fear. There was no feelings of anything that would cause them to be troubled. There was no shame, no guilt. They were innocent. But then Brother Dennis has described the very next emotion that's listed. The second emotion is fear. It says we hid ourselves because we were afraid. We heard you in the garden and we hid ourselves out of fear. And ever since that time, since sin has entered into humanity, fear has entered into the hearts of human beings. I asked one of my deacons this week, I said, do you remember any time in your life when you were afraid? So I'm going to ask you all to think about that before we get to reading this text. Do you remember a time in your life when you were genuinely afraid? Some of you think, well, I don't. Well, if you've lived in some of the places that we've lived, you'd have some stories to tell. We lived in a parsonage across the street from the old church building in Mississippi, and there was a cemetery right next to that old church building. Sometimes I'd have to go over to that old church building and, you know, in the middle of the night and do something. I did it as quickly as possible. When you looked over there in that cemetery and you were walking across that dark street, across that dark parking lot to stick your key in that dark hole and turn it, you'd see all these glow-in-the-dark things that people had left on the gravestones. You know, glow-in-the-dark candles, glow-in-the-dark angels, glow-in-the-dark crosses. Now, you're not supposed to be afraid. Those people are dead, right? They're no more, right? But listen, Come with me sometime and I'll take you to some of those places where fear lives. I was there one night and my wife said, we had some company, it was late, and she said, man, we need some ice. We ran out of ice. So I ran across the road to get some ice because that's where the ice machine was for the church. That was the old building was the Fellowship Hall. And I went in and I got it as fast as I could and I got back out. And I left the key in the door so I didn't have to find the hole again, you know. But before I could turn that key, something from behind the building went, ah! I wish somebody had been there with a stopwatch to see how fast I made it to my porch. I probably would have broken some world record. We've all been afraid, haven't we, of something at some point in our life. There's been fear that has crept in. There's phobias of all kinds. The disciples were afraid because Jesus was going away and their future seemed to be at risk. What was going to happen to them seemed to be up in the air. They didn't understand what was going on. And so they were genuinely afraid. So Jesus starts in verse 25. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, being at present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That takes in our first point. If you feel inadequate, you have someone there with you all the time as a believer. So Jesus continues and says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give it I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That covers our second point. And that simply is this. You may be afraid, you may be fearful, but the peace of Jesus Christ is ours for the taking. And then he finally says, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and will come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Don't let circumstances hinder you. Don't let circumstances bother you. Jesus said, you can have victory, take courage, and obey me. Listen to the rest of this. He said, when it comes to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, and let us go from here. So here are the trembling 11 sitting in the upper room with Jesus, needing courage, needing the Lord to breathe into them hope. And so we're like that many times in our lives. So what he was teaching them, he's teaching us. So together I want us to begin thinking about this thought. What to do when you don't know what to do? Jesus says you may feel inadequate at times, but the Holy Spirit will make you competent and courageous. Now, as he looked into the eyes of those 11, he says, guys, you feel like you can't right now. You feel inadequate. You don't feel like you are able to do anything. And quite frankly, we're not. Quite frankly, we can do nothing without him. But with him, all things are, say it with me, possible. They're possible with him. And so he said, you may feel inadequate, but listen to these words again. I will be with you. Said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Look back at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, in that verse 25 and 26, Jesus talks about these things. That's referring to the teachings. That's referring to everything that Jesus has taught them in the past 3.5 years. It's about the things he's teaching them in the upper room: obedience, love, and abiding in him. He said, these things that I'm teaching you, these things that I have instructed you with, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back, and he will remind you of those things, and he will teach you all things and bring them to your remembrance. And folks, today we can hold in our hand the completed text of those things that Jesus was telling the disciples he would remind them about. We hold it. We can read it. We can study it. We can meditate on it. And so he was saying to them, you're not going to be alone. I'm going to leave you with all of the instructions that you'll need. You will have everything at your disposal that you will need to be adequate. I'm going to give you my Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The word there in the Greek is paraclete or parakletos. And that is the word for helper, advocate, or encourager. That word carries the idea of a trainer. I'm going to leave with you someone who will walk, who will run, who will be right alongside you and provide you with counsel, will provide you with correction and hope and comfort. A parakletos is one who helps another person towards excellence. It's the one who comes along like a personal trainer to help you reach the goal, to help you do what you cannot do on your own. He's there to pour into you hope and encouragement, to give you peace and to give you instruction and correction when you need it. That's what I am leaving, he said. That's what will be coming. And he'll remind you everything that you need to know. In the case of the Holy Spirit, he trains us to dedicate ourselves to him, to discard any hindrance that might be in our lives, and to become obedient to Christ, to become obedient to the Father, just like he showed us how to do it. That's what he's there for. So when the Holy Spirit comes, and by the way, the Holy Spirit comes when you're saved. Automatically, when a person is saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, to take up residence in your life. And he's there and will never leave you or forsake you. He's going to be with you in the high moments, in the low moments, in the lonely moments, and he'll be there to encourage you and to pour strength into you and to give you guidance. Now, he is an instructor like none else. And he's going to tell you and teach you things that no one else can teach you or tell you. And so the disciples were supposed to find comfort in this. They were supposed to find rest in this. And that trouble that was in their life was supposed to become calm. I don't mind y'all, but I've never had a personal trainer for physical things. Pretty evident, I know. It's okay. But I have a personal trainer when it comes to spiritual things. The Holy Spirit of God. I think that Peloton bicycle that you see advertised at Christmas is about the dumbest thing in the world. Some of y'all got them in your house, I know. You said, well, Brother Joe, I like it. Well, I didn't say you didn't like it. I said I thought it was the dumbest thing, okay? But here you are riding a bike, and you got somebody on the screen in front of you. You can make it. Keep pedaling. We can get up this hill together. Come on. We just used to ride together, you know. I used to have my brother riding by me, and we'd just challenge each other. I bet I can beat you to the top. The Holy Spirit is there, and He's saying that spiritually to you. Don't go there. That will ruin you. That's a bad spot. Listen, that's a bad decision. Don't go there. Or He's saying to you, listen to the Word of God. This will help you. Feed on this right now. You need this today. And I want you to understand what this means. Walk by faith and not by sight. That means you don't always see how I'm going to bless you, how I'm going to keep you, how I'm going to take care of your needs physically, spiritually, emotionally. But I will. Trust me. And you walk out of the room with a whole new set of eyes, with a whole new set of options. Your heart is lifted from a heavy state to a free state, because now I'm not walking by what I see. I'm walking by who I know. I can walk by faith and not by sight. He said, this is the decision you need to make. I'm going to make it in the name of Jesus, and He's going to help me with that decision. No matter what it is. I'm going to move into this area of my life because Jesus is down that road, and now I'm going to trust Him to help me navigate it. I have someone there to help me, to encourage me, to discipline me when I'm wrong, and to give me hope when I'm down. Jesus said, when you feel inadequate, understand, I'm going to send my Spirit to make you competent and to give you courage. Folks, every time you pick up the Word of God, you're reminded that the disciples were reminded about what Jesus said, about what Jesus taught, and that is there for your good and for your help. Now, here's another thought I want us to look at. Jesus looked into the eyes of those 11 who were really floundering at the time, and He said, you may be fearful, men, but the peace of Jesus Christ is yours for the taking. Verse 27, He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now I want you to notice this. Jesus left His followers with this amazing legacy. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. You can't get a gift that's that big. You can't give a gift that's that expensive. Jesus said, I'm giving you my shalom. That's what it is in the Hebrew language. I'm giving you my completeness, my fulfillment, my wholeness. I'm giving you my security, my well-being. I'm offering it to you. Where I am in my wholeness, you can be in yours. Where I am in my security, you can be in yours. The disciples were going to face uncertain days. They were going to see Jesus condemned. They were going to watch Him be crucified. But Jesus wanted to focus the disciples' attention on the final victory. He said, if I go away, I will come again. I go to the Father, but I will come back to you. And my Father, reminds him that his Father's greater than he is. My Father's greater than I. So I'm going to him, and he's going to send me back to you. So take my peace. Don't be afraid. He said, I may be leaving, but I'll be back. Boy, used to sing a song. You guys might have heard it. I think it was Michael Combs sang it. I'll be back. I'll be back. Just a little while, I'll be gone, but I'll be back. He said, I got to go take the keys of hell. I'm going to whip the devil. I'm going to take sin and I'm going to put it away, but I'll be back. I'll be back. And he looked into their eyes and he said, I'm going to go to the Father. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to be gone for a little while. But I will be back. I'm coming back. Christian, take hope. Take courage. I'm coming back. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. There's victory. I like what he said over in chapter 16, verse 33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You're going to have problems. You're going to have stresses in life. But listen to me. I have overcome this world. The present world you live in is under my feet. I'm victorious. You can be victorious with me. So what Jesus is doing is lifting their eyes from their present fear to their future victory in him. The grave's empty today. Why? Because Jesus is not dead. You don't have to fear anything. The only thing you need to fear is the Lord God himself. Fear me, he says. Reverence me. And that is the beginning of wisdom. I have watched a few football games that were pre-recorded. And, you know, the outcome was already over. I've run into a few people that don't want to talk about a football game that's already over. I say, why? I hadn't watched it yet. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I'm sure people have ruined that for y'all, haven't they? You recorded it, and you were going to watch it, and you're, oh, we beat them like 24-17. It was a great game. I'm sorry you missed it. But imagine with me that today you had recorded a game, you invited a couple of friends over, you'd already watched it, they hadn't seen it. And you're sitting there, and your team wins. Their team's a winner, but they don't know it. You're sitting there eating popcorn, making nachos, drinking a cool glass of iced tea, sweet. And every penalty that your team gets, every fumble that your team makes, every drop pass that your team doesn't catch, they're sitting there on the edge of their seat. But you're just sitting there, chip in hand, man, this is good. Why aren't you worried? You already know the end. You already know your team wins. Joe, you already know you could do the victory dance at halftime. You already know. And that's how Jesus was with those disciples. Guys, I'm going away. I'm going to have to die. I'm going to come back to life. And I'm going to visit you after I come back to life. Can you imagine them sitting there, their heads about ready to explode? Their eyes are that, they cannot get it. And then I'm going to go back to heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and get you. And I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You know what he's trying to teach them? Let my peace be your peace. Let my comfort be your comfort. Take security in the fact that I am secure. rejoice. Because I'm going to the Father. And the Father's greater than I. I think I can hear Jesus' underlying words. If I read between the lines, I think I can hear what Jesus is saying. Guys, don't cry. Don't weep. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Let my peace be your peace. That's comforting, isn't it? And then finally, Jesus, he says to them, your circumstances may be like out of control, dire, but I'm assuring you victory. And your circumstances are going to be difficult, but you can take courage and be obedient, and everything will be all right. Verses 28 through 31, Jesus is describing what's going to happen, how I'm going away, I'm coming back. And I've told you before it comes to pass that when it happens, you will believe. And then he says, the world's going to know that I love the Father. And as the Father has given me commandment, even so I do. So guys, understand, this is why I'm doing this. The world will understand it in time. They will know who I am in time. And I'm obeying the Father as an example for you to follow. Follow me. The key to overcoming the enemy is what Jesus describes here. It's both loving the Father and obeying the Father. And Jesus did exactly what the Father demanded. If we'll be the person who loves the Father and obeys the Father, no enemy can take us for any ride. No enemy can take us down any road that we don't need to go down in our minds or a physical body. No enemy can take you out of this life any sooner than the Lord's ready for you to go. If you'll love the Father and obey the Father and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will reflect Jesus' life and you'll have peace all the way to the very end. Obedience is the key. Where there's obedience, there's trust. And where there's trust, there's confidence in God. I want to be the kind of person that at the end of the life, I can look back over and I can say, I trusted the Lord and He took me there. I loved the Lord and He led me in my life to that place and to that place. And He showed me this and He taught me that. And I trusted Him and I had confidence in Him all the way through. I don't want to be the person that's wringing their hands every day worried about what's going to happen. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. I want to be someone who says, God is in control. We can trust Him. You know what? He is in much control today as He was when He stepped out on nothing and made everything. He is as in much control now as He was then. Nothing less. In your life, in my life, and in this world, He knows what He's doing. So, what are you going to focus on? What are you going to focus on? That's what Jesus is saying to these 11. Focus on me. You can focus on self. You can focus on circumstances. You can focus on your possessions. You can focus on people. But I'm telling you, you'll let yourself down. Circumstances will let you down. People will let you down. Your possessions will run through your hand like sand. But if you'll focus on Jesus, If you'll put the Lord in His proper place in your life, allow Him to influence all the other areas of your life, people, self, possession, circumstances. Are y'all listening to me this morning? I'm almost done. If you will focus on Him, everything else will find a right balance. Everything else will work itself out. Here's some suggestions that I have for you as I close. Because I know we have fears, and I know we have problems, and I know that there are days when we can't trust. We can't find it down in our heart to trust like we should. But for defeat, for loneliness, for failure, for rejection, for difficulty in your life, here's some things that I do to help rid myself of fear and lack of trust. Number one, every day I want to acknowledge God as my source of power. Write that down. Today, I'm going to acknowledge God as my source for power. There's nobody else can give it to you. There's nowhere else to plug it in and get it from. The second thing I want you to understand is that each day you've got to start it with prayer. And then thirdly, you need to correct your pattern or your habit of pessimism. God's redemptive plan cannot be defeated. I'm going to say that again. God's redemptive plan cannot be defeated. If you're in Him and He's in Christ, He's going to handle your life. He's going to handle your situation a lot better than you can. Stop being pessimistic. Correct your pattern and your habit of pessimism. I know pastors, if they walked in those doors right there, and I'm almost done, before 5 minutes was up, they'd make it cloud up and rain. I'm talking about pastor friends of mine. They can walk into a room where a bunch of guys are having a good time, just having a joyful time, and by the time they're done with you, man, it is all going to hell in a handbasket. You're walking out of the room with your head down. You're, oh my goodness. Dear Lord, stop the pattern of pessimism. The only way that we can be a real influence on this city, on this county, is to know who's in control and be following Him and say, He is not going to be defeated. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. Let's bring a few of those hymns back, Miss Dana. He lives. He lives. And there's victory. And then there's one final thought. Devote yourself to obedience. When we obey, the accuser has less opportunity to frighten us. And we frustrate his ability to accuse us when we obey. Disobedience breeds fear. Obedience, fear will fade. If you're obedient, fear will fade. I had a good buddy growing up in grade school. His name was Billy. Anytime Billy was asked to quote his favorite verse, this is the verse he would quote. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Yippee! Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And that's God talking to Joshua. Wouldn't you hate to have had to follow Moses? That'd been a tough job, wouldn't it? Be not afraid. Do not be dismayed. Son, I'm with you. Son, I'm walking with you. I'm leading you. I am going to help you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as you walk out of here this morning, what are you going to do about fear? What are you going to do about failure? What are you going to do about the frustration that's in your life? Acknowledge God as a source of power in your life. Pray. Don't live pessimistically. And devote yourself to obedience. I'm going to obey Him. And I'm going to watch Him go to work all around me. Let's bow our heads as the instrumentalists and those come. This is an opportunity. If you need to come and pray, you can do that. Maybe you need to lay some burden at the altar this morning, some frustration, some fear. Father, I pray that You'll help us this day. Guide us in Your ways. Walk with us, Father. Let us not move out of that path that You have for us. And Lord, do it for Your name's sake, so Jesus Christ can be uplifted. All of this is possible because of the cross. Thank You, Lord, for the cross. For resurrection morning. Thank You, Jesus. Help Your people today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What are we singing, Miss Dana? In Christ alone. Stand with us and let's sing.